Well, tastes like a watered down fucking
milk sack.
Like liquor of some kind.
Really? Weird.
Yeah, I thought I'd get it. So I remember this taste from when I was drinking.
I get that Minute Market coffee sometimes. It's probably older. It's that than
weird
fuck.
Fucking bitter aftertaste.
Let me try it. It has
that fucking weird liquor.
Here, give it over. Let me see what this
is. I'm not getting it.
You don't understand.
Okay.
I know what it is. I just have to.
It tastes like the creamer was like maybe a little off. Ready to fucking keel over and die. It's gross. It's gross for sure. It's drinkable though. I mean, I'm okay with shitty coffee, but I don't like milk in it. If it's gonna be shitty coffee, just give me the shitty coffee. No other shitty substances involved.
I gotta have half and half, dude.
All right. Well, let's get
I'm a medium man.
Yeah.
I like that shit in the middle.
Let's get this shit going. Cinema Dumpster episode. This is 19. I know. I looked.
You said that last week.
No, man, last week was 18.
No, it was 10.
19. You are now listening to the Cinema Dumpster Podcast. All right, Cinema Dumpster 19. This week we watched The Crow, Wicked Prayer, starring Edward Furlong. with me, as always, is Gabe Asher. What's up, Gabe?
Yep.
And we also have Axe Heaver, the Axe Wound Heaver.
Hi.
And I'm your host, of Ryan. I forgot to do that last week. So this is the fourth installment in the Crow series.
What?
I thought it was the 48th.
Yeah, wow. It's possible. But
this is the second and third, the same actor?
No.
No.
No, he died in the first.
And it's the second and third.
He died in the first one, though.
I don't know.
I was wondering if the second and third was the same actor. No.
The second one, I think it was supposed to be the same guy, though.
Yeah, I don't remember.
But the third one, it was some cowboy dude.
Yeah, I think it's been a different guy each time, and they've all
declining sucked. Skills.
Yeah, pretty much. And this one, the guy who plays the Crow, Edward Furlong. As well known for films like The Terminator 2, and what else has he been in?
Detroit Rock City.
Yeah, he was good in that too. Man, he is not a good Crow.
They should have put Macaulay Culkin in there because
Edward Furlong in this movie is like every single fucking Hot Topic kid that dressed up like the Crow when I worked there. That would come in, and he'd have the Crow makeup on, and his trench coat, and his boots and shit. He was all of those kids combined into
weight-wise,
fucking shit.
Greasy shoulder-length hair, kind of fat.
I think that might have been a wig.
So fucking terrible.
I think he's balding.
So bad.
Dude, his pants had straps connecting the legs and shit, but they were baggy.
Really fucking bad.
But on a plus side, he's the most. Looked like a Crow of all actors. He looked like a scavenger for sure.
A lot of things. It was so bad. Every single scene with him is hard to watch.
But somehow his fucking character, dumpy as he is, has the fucking hottest chick on the goddamn planet of a girlfriend.
Well, why not?
It's that chick from Entourage.
Because he's the only white dude on the whole reservation.
Well, there's a lot of white guys.
There actually isn't any fucking Native Americans in this movie.
Even though the head Native American is Danny Trejo.
They all grow beards and huge mustaches and shit.
Isn't he Japanese, dude? Like, we just find some brown people. And we'll just say their native.
The tribe's name is the Aztecs, though. The tribe's name is the Aztecs, which that's from like southern Mexico.
Yeah,
anyways.
Why the hell would that have anything to do with a North American? Fucking,
I don't know.
Well, in this entire place where the tribe is living, which I'd imagine is on a reservation, is basically just a fucking garbage dump. Like, this is the biggest fucking dump I've ever seen. Of any sort.
Have you ever actually been on a reservation.
I've been through.
I think that was probably one of the fucking most realistic parts of the movie. They're fucking man, it's trashy. Fucking
harsh in there, dude. It's
that bad.
Dude, go to North Dakota, man. There's nothing out there but fucking.
Go to North Dakota or Montana or something. They're fucking trashed. Yeah, they're rough. There's
fucking broken vehicles everywhere and shit.
Yeah. They just get wasted and fucking wreck them into trees and just walk off.
I've heard some crazy fucking stories about reservations, but I don't know any firsthand. I just been told, like, this...
You ever seen Klamath Falls?
Yeah. You ever heard about Klamath Falls? It was just a double... It was just a double homicide yesterday out there? For reals.
Really?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Wow.
It was just in the news.
I didn't hear about that. But, well...
All our listeners from any sort of actual city are all, oh, wow, a double homicide, huh? Like, this is news from two towns away here.
Yeah, but that's not.
Well, hey, we're catching up around here, man. we had a hit and run of five people.
Well, we had that guy that lit his family on fire last year.
Yeah, but just 2 days ago, someone hit like five people and an 11-year-old and then took off. And some guy just stabbed someone 2 days ago. Fucking... And then the cab driver got murdered.
Oh, yeah. You know what's
funny?
This is
all in a week.
I was, when we left your house, we got picked up by a cab from that.
I remember I told you to strangle him?
Yeah.
I'm going to grab him by his throat and see what he does.
Well, I asked him, I said, how's the climate? And he goes, that's rough. It's rough. Everybody, he knew the guy, and he was saying that everybody's on edge because this taxi driver was murdered. And he said all of the other cabbies are just like super stressed out about it, and they're not wanting to go out on calls.
They should fucking pick one of us up, and we'll just ride shotgun.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be the badass on the side saddle.
They can pay me. There you go. Second job. Gabe, Jason, you want that job?
Well, I'm gonna be a daytime taxi driver shotgun guy. I don't think they're probably as scared during
the
day.
So anyhow, the synopsis for this awesomely. Good Crow fourth installment Crow film here is
this should probably not be even an installment. This should be like a fucking fan fiction.
It should have been.
It's based on the novel.
Oh man,
it looks like it's based on a fucking Walker Texas Ranger episode.
Seriously, dude.
That's why I was waiting for Chuck Norris the whole goddamn time to come cruising through with his fucking truck.
So the synopsis is: Jimmy Cuervo is down on his luck, ex-con living in a polluted mining town on a reservation that would run him out of town if not for the remainder of his probation. With his time nearly finished, he plans to start a new life with his girlfriend Lily and leave the town for good. But Luke, Crash, and Lola Byrne head up a local gang of local Satanists. This is how it's written. I'm just reading it verbatim. Who murder Jimmy and Lily in a brutally ritualistic slaying that they hope will conjure the rebirth of the Antichrist. When the Legend of the Crow returns, Jimmy from the dead, Jimmy heads out on a one-man path of vengeance that will lead him to El Nino, who is played by
Dennis Hopper.
Dennis Hopper. The leader of the gang that Luke and Lola are in. I couldn't find a budget on this film. But Dennis Hopper.
All it did was hurt whoever's chances of a next movie role that was in this fucking thing.
And Edward Furlong's fucking gotta look in the mirror every morning and realize that he did this fucking movie too, because he's terrible.
This is why Hopper was blacklisted early, because they figured he was gonna do this movie later on in his life, and they were just trying to stop it for like 30 years.
Actually blame this movie for him getting cancer.
Yeah.
It's fucking
from hanging out on the reservation.
So, yeah, the polluted mining town. So, this polluted mining town, it's in Lake Ravisu.
kind of like Havasu. Yeah. Just change it to an R and keep rolling.
The tribe is closing this toxic mine so that they can open a casino. And the miners, they're at a breaking point. I don't know why the miners are at a breaking point. Because they're losing their jobs.
Mm-hmm. How is this not a fucking option like 20 years earlier?
Yeah, well, why
when everyone else is making a casino, they're all, now let's just keep mining. That's where the real money is.
So there's a bunch of non-Indians dressed as Indians protesting. And this beginning of this movie confused me, because I guess I just wasn't paying enough attention. But I was trying to figure out who was protesting who and what was going on.
They were protesting on both sides of the fence, and you couldn't read anybody's fucking signs.
Yeah, it was, and it was totally bizarre. So at one
point, somebody was fighting to keep their job as a fucking toxic dump.
Toxic dump construction worker. That's exactly what it was. They didn't want to lose
their job. This is all I know.
I know. Why wouldn't they just go, you know, work for the casino that's going to open?
And make probably more money.
Yeah,
and exactly. And not get cancer. Yeah,
not be toxic. You know what? They don't even have to fucking do that if they're actual Indians from the reservation. Oh, shit. All they have to do is just kick back and let the casino be built and get paid.
Yeah. Well, they didn't do that. They decided instead to freak the fuck out. And they have like this, we have like this wannabe Quentin Tarantino breakdown scene of what's happening here.
Character introductions.
Yeah, character. And there's a chef who poisoned everyone on this day, apparently.
Tito Ortiz of MMA fame.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
See, I didn't.
I think this was his downward spiral, too. I think he started losing right after this.
Yeah, this was like 2005.
And he was top shit right around then. Like, when it stops and it shows their name, like, they do the devil horns, like, yeah. And but he poisoned.
It's embarrassing as a metalhead.
It's really bad. And the chef had poisoned everybody, and they all get sick. And then there's this Asian guy that shows up in an El Camino with like a barrel with a skull and crossbones on it, and he just starts fighting people randomly.
And the barrel.
Yeah, he does a fucking triple roundhouse kick to the barrel to open it. It just like sparks and blows open, and it has a skull and crossbones on it. But regardless, he starts spraying it in his face, and he's all. Oh,
he's had it all over. He's already like dying. Yeah, anyways. He's terminal. He doesn't give a fuck.
Oh, I don't remember that. So
it says in his little thing, it's all terminal.
Oh, okay. So that's when we get that breakdown. So the only things that I took away from this character introduction breakdown as it stopped and it said. It, you know, it's the four horsemen of the apocalypse from the Bible.
Yeah, it's three of the four at that point.
Well, it's all four. Well, yeah,
they bring in.
So it's Pestilence is the Asian guy, and all I saw was offered apologies, and that's what I wrote down. I didn't see anything about him being terminal.
Yeah,
like and then there's
no. He's not terminal. He killed his brothers in an accident when he was blowing up shit in the mine.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
interesting.
And then he wants revenge on the mine for which the mine is out of business already. I don't really get it.
And how do you wreak revenge on a hole?
You fuck it, sir. Unwillingly.
Give it AIDS. I'm giving this hole AIDS.
But the thing is that that doesn't make any sense to me. Why would they be fighting the miners if the mine's closing?
I don't know.
Yeah, okay, all right. Well, anyhow. So then they introduce Famine, who is the MMA guy, and he's the fry. It says occupation: fry cook and half breed. I was like, what was that about? Why was he a half breed? I don't know.
That's why he can't. He's mad because he's not going to be getting any of the
bumper checks.
Any of the checks
because he's a half breed.
Yeah, but a half breed. You could still get fucking checks to a 32nd, yeah. I think.
Some
to,
shit.
To like a 16th at least, you can still get fucking checks from the casinos.
That is not true then.
Yeah.
Is what we're saying.
Yeah.
He's not getting as much and that pisses him off.
Yeah, pretty much. And then War is a, they say he's a mind demolition, compensation is insufficient for his mind demolition. What?
Yeah, he blew up his brothers, it said.
That's that's what you just said the other guy did.
No.
Oh, okay.
No,
well,
he
freaks out. This guy's got a shotgun. He's losing his mind. He's killing, like, all the miners. Actually, he's just shooting boots and hats. Chain link fence. That's really all he's doing at the beginning of the movie. And so they do that. They rustle everybody up. And after we get the introductions, they all jump into their custom-made hoopties, which... They have like these awesome paint jobs of all their names.
It's a Bronco 2, a fucking Pinto, and a
looks like a brat.
Yeah, yeah, and they all have their names painted on them. Like one says Famine.
Shit.
Why did they pick Tito Ortiz for Famine? Why would you not pick a fucking skinny ass dude? You pick like the beefiest dude in the whole fucking movie to play Famine?
Because it's in the Bible. Why? Because bro, read it.
get a skinny guy. It's famine.
It's the Bible.
It's the Bible. It doesn't make sense.
So then we get this sniper on the rooftop, and she's like, all we see is the sniper scope. But
I think she was on meth.
This sniper scope looks like the fucking target reticule is like done with MS Paint. Like it's not even straight. Like the little crosshairs are all like, and it looks so fucking bad. And she's zooming around, and she's looking at all these convicts that are doing road work, and she starts. What happens, Gabe? She starts, she didn't even shoot anybody.
No, she shot the chains off.
That's right.
Which, no, she shoots one of the guards, and that starts the whole thing.
No, it started. The thing was the explosion.
Oh yeah, yeah. The car that he triple roundhouse kicked, that blows up, and then a bunch of other shit blows up.
But they weren't even close to that place when the explosion. The explosion happened somewhere else, and then they drove there.
But it hurt their ears. Yeah. So and then they fell down.
She shot one.
No, remember he wigged out and fucking they put his mask on and he was all wigging out and they fucking.
Yeah, they shot one of the guards right after they put his mask. She shoots one of the guards right after they put his mask on, and that's like his sign to like fight the other ones.
Oh, okay.
And then she shoots his chains.
He kicks the shit out of everybody when he has his head covered with his hood, and he's handcuffed.
I don't understand how the fucking chain. She shoots the chains off, but the handcuffs fall off a little later on. About 5 seconds later, they're all. See, it sloths them off.
You don't know, Gabe. I think
he grabbed the keys from one of the guards.
Obviously, in the Crow universe, handcuffs, they have a life force, and they're connected together. And if you break that life force, then they die. They have to be connected together.
Well, I guess since I never watched any of the other fucking Crows.
No, you didn't even watch the first one?
Hell no.
I just made that shit looked anyways.
Weak as fuck, and I sat through like half of it, and I'm all, this is weak as fuck.
The first one
Fucking thought that movie was so awesome the first time I saw it. I watched it again probably 2 years ago. I was like, how the fuck did I ever like this pile of shit?
Yeah, it doesn't hold up very well.
No. There's I don't know. I just wasn't into that fucking kind of dark gothy fucking
action.
It reminded me of like a fucking Mario Van Peebles fucking movie or some shit.
Well, I think what people liked about it at the time is that when it came out, it had really good gunplay in it. Like it was almost like some early John Woo films where there was like some really cool like gunplay with people.
There was all right martial arts in the first one.
Yeah, I mean this probably was. I mean comparable to all the crappy. B schlock that and you were kicking out that was like that. It was probably really good. Yeah.
And it was a B movie. It wasn't like a major film release.
Yeah, it was a good. Cult got movie, a big cult
following.
Mm-hmm. It was just one of those things I was really never interested.
And it got bolstered by a huge fucking soundtrack release.
Yeah.
The soundtrack has always done well. But not only that, but there's the stigma around the original movie too, with Brandon Lee dying.
Yeah.
In the middle of filming it. Because he was shot by somebody.
Yeah, somebody actually put a real bullet in one of the guards.
It wasn't a goddamn real bullet.
Oh, but was it?
No.
It was shrapnel
a shrapnel. What it was a fucking cotton swab fucking that didn't discharge from when the last one. So when it fucking stopped the shell casing from ejecting right, so when the next one came out, it actually pushed a fucking undischarged shell that fucking it didn't pop out. It was all about this fucking dumbass who used blanks but didn't fucking use the right kind of blanks that had the fucking an empty cotton thing. It was just a freaking weird fucking
super freak.
There was like three or four fucking things that had to go completely right for this fucking weird ass thing to happen, and it was they fucking backpedaled it. If you read wiki that thing, because it's a cool story. About how this fucking thing went from all across the entire
like one of those
thing.
Million to one shots.
It was this them fucking it was just all these things set up, and you could follow that fucking bullet all the way around.
Wow, really?
For fucking it's a really cool story, and it was just a freak thing, and it was just like it was totally weird.
Well, it wasn't actually, that if Bruce Lee believes that his family was cursed and shit.
Yeah, it's not really that freak when you consider he's a Lee.
Well. Yeah, exactly. There's all this weird background of Bruce Lee thinking his family was cursed and
how
everybody's gonna die. Shit. It's a fucking weird shit. But that has nothing to do with this movie. Because this is just Eddie Furlong walking around looking like a fucking wet puppy in fucking goth clothes.
God, so, how did they ever think he could carry a fucking title?
So after the sniper shoots the chains and they get away, the guy pulls off his county, basically his jail clothes, and he shows his custom made skin tank or some crap that he was wearing under there, and like it's like, well, what? And then he's like, I'm death, and he's the satanic cult leader. His father was murdered by Indians, and his mission is to raise hell, literally. That's what we get from him. The movie lets us know. And he sucks.
Yeah. And all he does the whole fucking movie is wear the most token satanic cult leader clothes.
Yeah. Isn't
that
he,
you could ever possibly think of.
Isn't he in a popular television show or something?
He's in. He's on Bones, and he was Angel from
Buffy.
Oh, my
God. I couldn't tell that was him from Bones. Oh, my God. That was rough.
I thought he was in that new vampire show that everybody
He's in the spinoff from Buffy back in the day.
Bloodslug?
Okay. Angel.
Bloodslug?
It sucks.
Killer tampon.
Blood leech.
And they go to this church for some reason, and he's like about to set this pastor on fire, and for some reason Tara Reid stops him. Tara Reid's the sniper, by the way.
Is just fucking flourishing too.
Oh yeah, she's doing well since American Pie. What else did you do?
I saw her in this movie on Sci-Fi with snakes, CGI snakes.
What was wasn't she on the Bratz movie?
That's probably a very good possibility.
No, it was what was that goddamn fucking gay ass fucking chick band?
Oh,
they did the.
She was the fucking the
Pussycat Dolls.
Yes.
Oh, really?
Or Josie
and the Pussycats.
Yeah, she was in that shit.
She was the drummer, wasn't she?
Yeah.
The dumbass drummer.
Stupid drummer. Fucking suck. After they don't light this preacher on fire for whatever reason, it switches to Edward Furlong waking up in his shanty shack. Like, this shack
he lives in that for reals.
Dude, that shit sucks, dude.
Was filmed on location at his house.
The entire fucking shack is covered in feathers. And I still never understood why. What was he doing in that fucking shack with all the birds that he was killing? Like, there was just feathers everywhere.
I think he tried to rape his pillow.
That's a possibility.
His Japanese sex pillow.
It's him and his dog is there covered in feathers also. And
he straight ditches without
We never even see him. Well, he does die. Comes back as the angel of
death. He feeds his dog a bite of chili, I think it was.
No, he eats dog food.
I'm pretty sure he eats dog food and bits of scorpion.
Yeah. He's got a scorpion on his chest, and for some reason he grabs the scorpion and he puts it in a freezer bag fridge.
That never
he
fucking
even seal it. He just puts it in the bag.
They never explain that whole fucking thing.
Well, I think he brings scorpions. It back to fucking that store she works at.
Yeah, and they sell scorpions for $1 a piece at that store.
All the scorpions
in that bag were dead.
How the fuck and why the fuck would you sell them for $1 when you can just get them for free outside? Hey, why don't you come indoors and get these ones?
I'm thinking maybe if you keep them in the fridge, it's like the bee trick. You put the bees in the freezer and you can you freeze the bee.
Then you can put them in people's beds and walk off and then they'll thaw out.
And you can tie a string to it. CKY. They tie the string to the bee and then it's flying around and shit like that. Maybe you can do that with fucking scorpions.
Once they thaw out, they can fly.
Scorpions?
Yeah.
Just flying scorpions, I want nothing to do with that fucking item, bro. Just flying around, stinging you like a bee, but just fucking flying scorpion. Could you imagine? I'll fucking lose my mind.
What we should do is just fucking freeze a bunch of bees and then fucking tie 50 of them to a scorpion and then just let them go.
A raptor of death.
Yep.
Flying scorpion.
We gotta get different.
I'm a bee.
We gotta get different kinds of bees and see if they fight.
Fucking hornets. I'm not into it.
We need Africanized bees and a fucking scorpion.
That's a stupid thing. So he's going to the Raven Fest, and he's getting tormented by the locals. And they call him a murderer. They're, like, spray painting his fucking little shack.
The fucking little, like,
yeah,
the little fucking, like, cerebral palsy fucking Indians out there spray painting his fucking shit.
Which really,
like, tries to run off on his little fucking crutches.
I like when he fucking fires a slingshot rock at the back of his head right as the scene switches. Edward Furlong's, like, crompsing down the road. And the kid's just, like, you can see him in the background firing the slingshot at him.
The spray paint doesn't actually do anything to the actual shitty trailer.
No, well,
it makes no difference, really.
he was not.
It was already tagged Indian Lover.
Indian Killer.
Yeah, they crossed out Lover, put Killer. So it was already tagged before. So you're not really doing much.
Oh, God,
you're just putting on another color.
He's looking like a real badass dropping down the road. It's funny because they give you this scene where he's like walking. It's all in slow mo.
Yeah, and you're like, he's fucking moving out with his suitcase and this other thing. He just left the dog in the trailer to die in the heat, as far as I can tell.
And his badass walk is basically him just kind of like shuffling.
Oh, man, it's while so swinging.
And then he gets pissed off at the crippled fucking Indian who's rip paints, and he kicks his fucking suitcase, and we never see the suitcase again.
Really?
No, it turns into a little satchel and a fucking fold-up, looks like a fold-up chair. Did you notice it?
No,
it turns into a goddamn lawn chair.
That's fucking rad.
And the goddamn suitcase is gone.
He's going to need that chair where he's going.
Yes. I think he's going to fucking tie bees to his fucking lawn chair and fly to the coast to start his new life. Or he's just going to have fucking scorpions drag it.
So he meets up with his Indian girlfriend who actually just looks like a white girl with a tan. And Eddie doesn't want to go to the Raven Fest. He's not into the stereotypical Indian festival going on, apparently. And they have a... It's very stirred. It's so bad.
And it didn't even say Raven. So it says Rave N.
Yeah.
So it's probably just a rave.
They were trying to... So what I got from that was that they had the Raven Fest for years. And then they tried to...
Hip it up.
Yeah. Make it more popular and call it the Rave In Fest. to make it awesome for all the youngins.
Yeah.
And, so they're going there anyways, and what happens? I don't even remember. There's this weird scene where it shows Eddie Furlong, like, he has a wedding ring that he wants to give her, and so he's pulling it out of this box, but it's like covered in dust. It looks like it's like 100 years old, and he's like,
probably grave robbed him.
It's just
that's really,
really fun. Really weird.
Do you remember the scene where they ask him where he got his suit from, right?
Yeah, then they say, fucking...
Did you steal that off a corpse?
Yep, you probably did get it off a corpse. It was Brandon Lee. He had to fucking get it.
No wonder that thing was so fucking big on him. Dude, he had to get a tailor out on the fucking res.
So this is the next day.
Just had to fix that hole in the chest.
When he's going to
go.
He's going to the Raven Fest. He says, fuck it, he's going to go and he's going to propose to his girlfriend there. And so he gets some flowers, his ring, and his bag of dead scorpions.
How many flashbacks do you think have happened at this point in the movie?
Only four, I think.
Okay.
I think about four. And so he goes into his shitty fucking car and it's broken. So he gets on his bike and he's just riding his bike down the road with his bag of scorpions and his flowers. And
I like that his car starts smoking as soon as he turns the. Just like, how the fuck did your car?
Instantaneous smoke.
He just turns the fucking ignition. It's all poof smoke.
Oh no,
everywhere.
That's right too. He tied the fucking ring to the bag of scorpions. So he was gonna give her the bag of scorpions, like.
Instead of hiding it in a cupcake or fucking bottom of a champagne glass, he's gonna tie it to a bag of half dead scorpions.
You know that you're laughing at that, Gabe, but actually I'm pretty sure isn't that pretty close to how you proposed to Laura?
Half dead scorpions.
Yes, but then the best part is like if she's selling each of those scorpions for a dollar, he's essentially saying, here's a wedding ring and
$5.
$5.
What the fuck? And so as he's cruising down the road,
I'm gonna sweeten the deal. I'll add 15 scorpions to it.
That's the fucking wedding fucking
gift.
Gift set.
And so while he's cruising down the road, her brother. So his girlfriend's brother shows up. He's supposed to be the
super fucking half Mexican guy with a fucking 5 o'clock Indian shadow. Reservation.
And he shows
every
up.
Every single Indian in this movie can grow a full beard. Every single one of them. I've never seen so many Indians in one place that grow such great facial hair as the ones in this fucking movie.
That's pretty awesome.
I didn't even notice that. That's a good eye there, sir, for men's facial
hair. Real Indian was all, I ain't gonna do this shit. What are you talking about?
Who's how much money?
Who's the crow?
Edward
Hell no.
This shit.
Why would haven't I do we this suffered when I enough already? Get my res check.
We have suffered these many decades and centuries, and now you want us to fucking act under fucking Edward Furlong? No, thank you.
No, I'll pass. We don't need any more of that. So
we'd rather be covered in fucking blankets with fucking the Black Plague, fucking whatever the hell else.
So what happens here? Oh, he's cruising down the road. He gets his ass kicked by her brother, his girlfriend's brother. And
actually, all he did was kind of park in front of him, and Furlong just fucking fell off his bike like a goddamn psycho.
No, and then he kicks him a couple times, doesn't he?
No.
Oh. He just kind of looks at him.
I was thinking that in my brain. I'm like, just kick that fucking thing. Kick him. Kick the shit out of him. And so then after that, what happens?
He makes him do Russian roulette, but he actually doesn't put a bullet in the thing.
Yeah. So... He does nothing, really.
Yeah, Edward Furlong kind of laughs at him. He just kind
of tells him to beat it.
And not. He's like, my sister's not coming with you. Because the cop is his girlfriend's brother.
Right. So then it goes back to the Four Horsemen, right? And he shows up with the scorpions. And he goes in and it's empty. And he's like, I love you. Would you marry me?
Yeah. He's proposing to an empty room, pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much. No, a bag of scorpions with the ring tied to it.
He sees Tara Reid in the corner, and he kind of thinks it's his girlfriend for a second.
Yeah,
even though his girlfriend's not blonde.
Shouldn't he be?
Yeah, well, she was in the corner of a dark room. Come on.
Wow, no.
What, do you think everyone looks like Indians if in the dark room in the corner? Man, you're
everyone
racist.
Looks like everyone in the corner of a dark room.
So you'd have sex with anybody if they're in the corner of a fucking dark room?
That's quite a stretch.
No, that was funny. So anyway.
Yes, I guess I would if my dick was. I guess I would if my dick was 15 feet long,
an Asian boy.
And I could hit it from the doorway. What the fuck?
That's when he starts getting the shit kicked out of him because Pestilence and the Four Horsemen guys or whoever they are, they show up and they start. You know they. Want to kill him, but we get this flashback where Eddie used to be friends with Death or whatever, and
they're on the chain gang together.
Yeah, yeah, and they that was weird. Yeah, I don't get that, but whatever. And he Tara Reid cuts out Eddie's girlfriend's eyes or something like that because she has shaman eyes. So she cuts her eyes out.
I thought she had
you've been shamanized.
I'm coming from both sides right now. You guys are killing me. And I don't know what happened there, but she does some spell where she gets her eyes and she gets shamanized, and then they hang both Eddie and his girlfriend, and Death pulls Eddie's heart out of his chest, and then
crushes it into peyote dust.
Oh, is that what it was supposed to be? Peyote dust?
And then makes pierogies.
And then they
no, he makes devil's food cake and deviled eggs.
That was so weak.
No, wait, hang on, though. Eddie says here when he's super raging after his girlfriend's killed. I like this. Dude, the audio doesn't come across as well as the visual, but I still liked it.
Why didn't he just bite his ear off or something?
That sounds like so nerd badass. Rage. That sounds like a fucking fat nerd sitting behind his computer.
What does
mad.
That actually remind me of? That whole little you are gonna fucking die.
It sucks. That's all it is. And so
it reminds me of something else that I
the after all that happens, the 666 shows up on Death's chest, and he's like, yeah.
You know what it reminds me of? Crispin Glover in fucking River's Edge.
Oh, okay.
When he's freaking out about, come on, man. Gonna stick up for your fucking friends, that's, man.
What, three separations of Dennis Hopper right there? Yeah. It all comes one back separation. To Hopper.
He's, so, Pestilence and Famine, they take these... They take their dead bodies, and they lock them in a fridge. And he weirdly says, like, something about how the refrigerator is bad, and his mom used to lock him in it. Remember that?
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, well, my mom just made used to it lock
all
me
the
in
way
that.
To.
And there. he wrote, I love you, Mama, on the front of the fridge. It's weird.
And so they lock both the bodies in this fridge. They roll it off a cliff into, like, a puddle, which is flammable. Apparently flammable. It's lighted on fire. I'm like, well, wait.
That's how things go at the res. All puddles are flammable.
It's fire water.
Awesome.
Let's see how racist we can be in this episode. Gabe's,
it was fire water.
It was, apparently, was because it looked like water.
Gabe's cool with Native American racism.
So they show up.
Yeah, old school.
At this party.
It was the first
grandfathered in.
It was the first kind of racism. Yeah. They didn't bring anyone in yet.
First one.
First kind of American racism, yeah.
So the four horsemen show up at this party where they're going, like, let's go to a party. And that's when we get what you're talking about. So the guy, Death, he's all, okay, so we're Satan worshipers, and we're totally awesome and muscular. And so when we're not out there killing people, we're doing this.
Eat up! Partake in a double ham, eat with double eggs, and for dessert, feast on devil's food cake.
Seriously? Can so it be any fucking corny?
But it's all dusted and fucking peyote,
it's like
heart
fucking
dust.
12-year-old goth kids fucking
yeah,
have sleepovers.
Yeah, exactly.
We're gonna have devil's eggs.
We're gonna play with a fucking Ouija board.
Deviled ham and fucking.
This just sucks. But still crack, man. And, So after that, they're eating all the devil's eggs and they're freaking out because
it's like they're in
pestilence.
Like this movie?
I think that was actually the closest we were talking about almost vomiting watching movies earlier. Watching Pestilence eat those fucking deviled eggs. That was the closest I've fucking
like,
been to.
La, la, la. Fucking
almost vomiting.
This is one of those movies that they try to make every single line anyone says a one liner.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and they're trying to make every single one.
But they
one
didn't
of
have anybody
totally
who could
cool.
write a good fucking one line.
No. They try to make everything totally badass, every fucking line, everything totally cool, and all of them fall short. All of them, except probably when you get to
one,
Hopper. The only reason they're cool is because Hoppers
are
so fucking psychotically bad.
Yeah, Hopper's so shit, yeah, Hopper shit goes full circle. It's so fucking terrible that it's.
Yeah, it was the only. It was the only way we could. Yeah, I can't explain it.
So
it had to be done. Hopper had to be that awful for this thing to pan out.
So there's a crow, and he's like crowing. What else do crows do?
Doing
what
crow
do
noises.
Do? They crow. So at Eddie's
fools,
fridge,
son,
in his new home, and it's beckoning him, and so he busts out. It fucking cracks me up when I read what I was. doing last night that he busts out not unlike a child coming out of the womb because he's all like sweaty and gross
much
and,
like Cherry Johnson in the episode of Punky Brewster. He gets trapped in the refrigerator
and he looks at his own visage in a toaster and looks exactly the same yet is somehow surprised by this.
He looks like a fat baby coming out.
A fat, alcoholic, fucking drug-addled baby.
A fucking alcohol syndrome baby.
So he's the crow now. He's the angel of death, I think, is what the crow is supposed to be. And,
they never really explain the whole connection to God in the movie until...
Yeah.
Like, in this one, all of a sudden, there is this huge connection with, like...
Why the fuck would God give a shit about what happens to these assholes?
This shit was so atrocious on this fucking awful reservation that,
yeah, these
like,
four
I
dudes
really
are so
to...
satanic. They need to be stopped, because there's no one as badass as these four
and
dudes.
Stop that casino!
Yeah.
And so he.
Where was the crow when Hitler was running shit?
Oh shit! Some wow, making huge jokes there, buddy.
You can't make a Jew crow. That just doesn't work.
A Jew crow. I'm gonna leave the beak fucking thing out of it. I was gonna, but I'm stopping. Fucking! I can't be. I can't outrace this, Jason. And I'm not gonna ever try.
Wow, that was good. So, anyways, I'm just gonna move on here. And just keep on. What's happening here? Oh, he pulls his girlfriend's body out of the fucking fridge, which is completely unharmed, save for her eyes that got cut out. And
good for skull.
Still hot. He's still hot as fuck.
To do it up
with two extra holes. Yep.
And
surprisingly, Eddie, these are tighter than your other ones.
Actually, that's not very surprising. You know,
turned out.
Eye fucking, a skull fucking.
Yeah.
Do you think that an eye fucking would actually be looser or tighter than a pussy?
Depends on the pussy and the wiener.
He's doing
game. I'm all touching my eye. Well, I don't know.
It's how I guess it would have to do because
I guess it seems like your eye
because
is
there's still a skull socket there, but the skull socket's like a lot larger, and the skull socket's essentially what is going to change the size of the eye pussy.
Pretty much, if you put the head upside down. You can probably get this some sort of cavity and have your way.
I don't know.
The brain sounds pretty tempting to me.
Yeah, you could kind of just push it back. It probably feels pretty good.
The brain looks pretty ribbed.
Yeah.
Put some knowledge off of it.
I just say fucking take a grapefruit spoon and just dig out a little extra and just go to town.
You can have a meeting of minds, one head to another.
Let's
put our heads together.
Let's butt some heads.
What the fuck? Okay, so
pun train.
Yeah, it happened. So he tries to kill himself because he's freaking out and he can't kill himself and he's like, "What am I?" And he's the crow, obviously. So
Eddie, a bastard version of the crow.
Eddie's own dog won't talk to him, so he decides to light the place on fire. Does he light the place on fire with dog in there?
I'm pretty sure.
I hope the dog got the fuck out of this relationship.
I think death is a fucking probably a better alternative than hanging out with Eddie Furlong any longer.
So this
is less painful.
There's this flashback.
Burning alive.
Eddie Furlong and his girlfriend, and they're getting ready for...
What flashback number do you think this is?
Probably 10. Okay. It was probably a former Raven Fest where he was doing the classic, you know, lines on his eyes, the crow lines, the makeup.
With Sharpie?
Yeah, and he's doing it with... And so when he gets up, he does the same thing. But he's doing it with a Sharpie, and he's like, "I'm gonna Sharpie shit on my face." He's so ghetto, dude. Like, why did they even show? And it shows him pick up a Sharpie. It's a Sharpie brand pen, and he picks it up and starts drawing. That was their one fucking sponsor.
Sharpie, yeah, like, Sharpie probably fucking.
Well,
paid
they probably
an
got
ass plug for
they
that.
Probably got sued.
We'll give you $1,000. Did you put our pen in there? Probably. Like, right, we'll take it. So
we'll give you the Sharpie pen for free if you put it in our movie.
But only the one.
Make it last.
Even better if the Sharpie company said, "No, we want nothing to do with this fucking movie," and they Sharpied out the Sharpie What's signature on the Sharpie.
Harpie brand pens.
They only had one pen though. How are you going to Sharpie it off the side of the Sharpie?
Well, they can find another one, I'm sure. So, I don't know what
they only had so much budget for this movie.
So her white brother, he hates Eddie, and he finds the girl's body, and he's super bent because you know, he thinks that Eddie the crow killed his sister. So then the baddies, the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Dick Derp Center.
The apocalypse deeds.
They're looking for a virgin for some reason because they need a virgin to do something.
They for something about a virgin and getting married.
Yeah. And so they bust into this wedding.
They never do fucking find a virgin anyway.
They do. They find that black dude.
Yeah.
Remember that random
that
black
guy that was
dude?
Rolling down the road?
Oh, the dude, yeah, the dancing limo black limo driver.
He yeah.
was a virgin, dude.
You missed the whole.
He couldn't even fucking act like he was kind of running. He was trying to stay in frame.
He was trying to stay in frame. I saw that too.
He was going
running
in place.
Yeah,
that was a white. I didn't know what. Why can't the camera just roll?
Is that what he was trying to do? I couldn't figure out what he was trying to do.
Yeah, he was trying to stay
in the frame while the car was in there. He was just so. There's no reason for him to be running like that.
Yeah, I thought
I caught that too.
I thought he was just like doing some. Me and Jen were really confused by that whole fucking sequence of events.
So anyhow,
I thought it was hilarious, but I was just
it was completely hilarious.
Oh, it was great.
But I didn't know he was trying to run to stay in the frame. I was just like, what is that fucking dance he's like doing the fucking hustle or something.
He should have been walking quickly or jogging, but he made it look so obviously weird.
Yeah, yeah. I liked it a lot.
He was going too fast and moving not any. He was. Yeah, running in place, more or less, and barely moving.
With his fucking coattails, like, flying. That shit was awesome.
So back at this wedding where they think they found a virgin for their whatever Satan thing they need to do. but they're like, yeah, we'll kill the virgin. We get the virgin. We're good to go. And the lady getting married turns around, and she's fucking, like, 9 months pregnant. Like, they did not do very much background checking here.
Yeah.
Like, all I had to do was go visit this virgin the day before and realize how pregnant as fuck she was. What?
Should have seen that she was marrying a dude with dreads and
yeah.
That's your first sign that she's probably not fucking pregnant. Or not a virgin.
And that she's probably drinking the whole pregnancy.
Killing me.
They're having another Eddie Furlong, baby.
So Moses is the preacher's
crow
name.
Five coming.
And he gets killed by death. I don't remember how. And the preacher... this preacher was the preacher that killed Death's father. So that's why he's brought her with him. And the guy became a preacher later. Anyways, doesn't matter.
He's changed, though. So yeah. That's all good. He makes sure they know that he's changed.
So they do have these crazy
that whole
guys.
Fucking scene though. The scene we got to talk about that scene for a second where he's like, he gives him a fucking he gives the preacher a gun.
All right.
And he's like, shoot me in the back, blah blah blah. He's like, no, I've changed. Grab the gun, shoot me. He's like, no, I've changed. Blah, blah, blah. He grabs the gun and points it at him, and then dude, like does like the old west, like turn around and shoots him. But it's so fucking awful, and like there was nothing, there wasn't even an attempt to make it look legit, like he was a quick draw. He just basically just turns around normal style and like shoots him before, but I don't
it makes no
how
sense
that
to even
we're not gonna try here. So the
skip
that's for the Asian guys at the bar, and he's like doing whatever he's doing, trying to get more peyote, and he's getting all crazy and freaking out in this bar.
Eating moths.
The crow shows up, and he shows up to own in his Hot Topic, newly purchased Hot Topic, where...
his Jankos.
Eddie and the Asian, they start fighting in he pushes his head into a bug zapper and fucking blows his head up and kills him.
No, so he doesn't even do that. He breaks his neck.
Oh, well, whatever.
He keeps putting his head in the bug zapper, and it just zaps him, and the guy kind of actually likes it.
So then there's the guy we were talking about, this Stone Brother, and he's, like, rolling super hard in his limo, and he looks super hot.
Dude, that limo was fucking hot. That shit had fucking side pipes on it, and that was blowing fucking hot air.
And so when Eddie shows up on the road, he plays it smart, and he just gets out of his car and just starts running. He's like, fuck it. I love that shit, dude. He's like, fuck this shit. I'm out of here. I don't know who this fucking crazy guy is. He's supposed to be dead. And then the Mexicans, the Indians.
It doesn't matter in this movie. It's all the same.
The people that are supposed to be brown in the film.
Yeah.
And they are brown.
They have a meeting about...
They're just less red than they're supposed to be.
Right. No, this is the tribal council. They're having a meeting about Lily hooking up with a miner and a dumb white boy in a trench coat. Oh, I have it somewhere. It's Lily... Good and Stuffs.
Good and Plenty?
Stuff and Puffs. Lily...
Lily Good and Plenty?
I don't remember. I think I actually have that somewhere. It's Lily...
I keep fucking
what's her name? Heard it. I know. It's a stupid name. I'll get to it. I have it somewhere.
Trejo?
Eddie...
Did anybody else feel that it was a little bit of a stretch for her to be Danny Trejo's daughter?
Yeah.
What? It's a possibility. She should have had a few more pockmarks on her face. So Eddie shows up at the church, and he starts waxing...
Maybe a sombrero.
He starts waxing philosophy with that snot load. The lady that had all that snot coming out of her nose. I think he was contemplating eating her boogers at one point because he was looking at her so intently. And there's just all the snot running down her face. Remember that?
Who?
Chick
at the fucking garbage fell kid.
And we see this other flashback of how Eddie actually stopped his girlfriend from getting raped by a priest. And then he was convicted of killing the guy or some shit like that. It doesn't matter.
Dude, I would have let the priest have his way and then got some of that sweet money for fucking settlements later on.
It happens. I had an ex-girlfriend who got molested by a priest when she was like 12. And she got like a $120,000 settlement not to fucking go. It was Catholic priest.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Yeah, she bought a car.
Yeah, that's awesome. $120,000 is a lot of money, but... Yeah.
But still, man. Fucking, I mean, I guess it's all morals and whatever.
The mind fuck out of
it. I mean, and this shit... that's a whole other conversation. Should I take a
pipe in the dumper for $120,000?
Do it right now.
I'll do it right now. Whoever's out there.
Where am I? Catholic priest.
Cash up front. Party in back.
Ain't no priest gonna want you, homie.
Hell yeah. They won't. They can't.
Wear a little kid mask. So, back at the Raven Fest.
That'll fool them.
Yeah. The Famine gears up for a hockey game for some reason. But the Crow, he's there too. And they start breaking everything. They're breaking all the Native American porcelain ducks that are and ruining the party. They're popping balloons. Did you see the guy fucking with the
all
baseball
the satanic
bat?
Stuff.
And he's like raging and he's just popping balloons. Yeah. Like, what are you doing?
But do you notice the fucking people at the party never fucking leave? Like, none of them head for an exit.
The guy with the baseball bat's like in an abandoned corner of the party just fucking having it.
He's just no one's on that shit. And then like he'll stop doing it and the people are just kind of milling around in the background. Yeah. They're not even like running around.
Is this part of the rave? Yeah. Is there prizes in these balloons?
Is this the Raven Fest?
Is this a piñata?
Indian piñata is a
bowl.
It blew my mind.
Did he balloon your mind?
Ah.
He's just...
So, the Crow shows up, and Eddie says, the balloon popping is over.
Enough of this madness. This is why I came back from the dead.
Many people worked to set this up. And he starts kicking the shit out of everybody. And then Death tries to get him to join their group because he's like, you're the best. You can be with us. And Eddie's like, not going to happen. And they kill the Crow with a tomahawk from across the room somehow. And so Eddie's powers are weakened. The Crow that's following him. And he's like, no. I don't know what happens next.
I don't either.
They do much research mid-fight to see
it's
what
hard
to
kill a bird. Have you ever tried to hit a bird and move him?
With a fucking tomahawk? No, no, no. This is my notes say this. Fucking, they do much research mid-fight to see what to do next. Check the wiki nubs.
That's your next note? You gotta stop doing this so fucking drunk.
It's not working out at all. And so, They shoot the shit out of everyone in this tent that fell over everybody in the party, and the
oh yeah, he starts doing the one Indian, two Indian, three Indian, four song, and like a little Indian, one little Indian boy comes out, and Edward Furlong saves him under the blanket.
Yeah,
of
yeah, and he has some sort of powers under that blanket. And so
yeah, it's everybody has powers under the blanket. Didn't you hide under your blankets from monsters?
This is a very good point. So
I
this
think
is
a settlement's the, coming is, from Edward Furlong.
this is the arrest scene. So they go to arrest fucking Eddie Furlong, and we get to hear this chick's full name. It'll take a second. It's coming. Wait for it. Almost here.
When he was dead, he saw that he had not lived.
Jimmy Pueblo, you're under arrest for the murder of Lily Ignites the Dawn.
Mm-hmm. Lily Ignites the Dawn?
What is she, an emo band?
A fucking hardcore, fucking softcore band?
Yeah, screamo.
That's what it sounds
ignites
like.
Lily Ignites the Dawn.
That's exactly what it fucking sounds like. It's some fucking shitty screamo band. Tomorrow's ashes are today's dust. Oh, fucking shit. I hate that crap. Get out of here. With these long ass fucking
names. I'm pretty sure they're playing at the rec room next week. Ignite the Dawn.
I'm about to have this vocals.
So then.
And Eddie Furlong's Failures is opening.
That's actually a really good band name. It's
good. So then Eddie mind melds Spock style with the cop and lets him know what happened with his girlfriend, his dead girlfriend's brother. And so he's like, oh, God. And so they pick up the crow and they beat it. So they have the injured crow there. And so War has this weird dynamite suit on.
Yeah.
See, it looks like something out of fucking... It looked like Team Fortress 2. Like, the one guy... He's in this red suit, and he's just covered in dynamite. It's like, what are you doing? And,
It's like fucking, Black Sheep with fucking...
it's the weirdest fucking thing. The whole outfit. It's like, what are you... Is Suicide Bomber? Like, what are you doing with all this dynamite? And Tara Reid is having some second thoughts. They found, the Virgin, who was the cab driver run down the street. They picked him up. And they have some sort of Hell House bar that they go to or something. There's, like, that weird bar, and there's, like, that black chick that's there who's, like, running the shop.
Oh, yeah. It's, and like, some fucking slummy fucking hangout.
Yeah, and so the leader of this whole cult, his name is El Nino. And that is, what's his name?
Dennis Hopper.
Dennis Hopper.
He's a pimp. He's a fucking Satan worshiper.
He's fucking awesome. He's got
he's all around badass.
And he's the fucking devil's homie.
And the best fucking person in the movie.
Spits more game
Chowdy.
Than
Chowdy.
Yeah, yeah.
He spits more game than fucking any fool in town.
So here's our introduction to Anthony Hopkins.
Anthony Hopkins. Jesus Christ.
Hopkins is
give the man his due.
I'm stepping away. I have to pee.
Here it is. Hopkins is beaver shit.
Shorty.
When he was dead, he saw that he had not lived.
Jimmy Pueblo, you're under arrest for the murder of Lily.
Thanks for playing the wrong one, you douchebag.
God damn it, Ryan.
Ryan, failbot, you fuck.
Come on, Tanner.
Oh, Satan. What's up, Holmes? This is Mac Daddy. El Nino. Calling you up, man. Quit your basking in the darkness and come on up here.
Didn't he say some silly ass shit before? One. That was the second one. Didn't he say some bullshit?
He says
beginning?
Some fucking even better shit, or well, not even better,
but just
just as good.
Nothing's good. Just other stuff.
he says homie other stuff and gangsta and shawty.
I think I have everything you want here right now.
Give it to me.
So Death is getting bathed by chicks in Spencer's Halloween costume. And the brother says jumping. the brother, he's like, I'm still a virgin because he was saving himself.
That was like the whitest black dude. Now I know why he's still a virgin. He's a fucking pussy.
And so we get El Nino again. He's giving some more, dropping that knowledge.
That's one I just played.
Oh, it was. Okay. So, we'll skip that one. What do you mean?
Play the one.
Hawkins shit?
Yeah, the next one.
I told you. Stop fucking up.
We're kicking our homie down. Our hardcore banger Luke G here. And to have and to hold your mortal badassitude.
Badassitude.
That's the best fucking that's word not
even
ever.
It's not even a... No one who... That was never a cool word. I mean, some point someone used all those other words in a cool setting or fucking tried to be a badass.
But never.
But no one ever said badassitude in a serious fucking...
I wonder if that was in the script or ad-libbed that.
Because I fucking love that. But he says your moral badassitude.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, wouldn't it be immoral badassitude? I mean, he is Satan. Know.
So then after that happens,
does it really matter from this point?
And then some old grandma rolls into the joint. Oh, it's Eddie.
Oh my god.
The Crow and Dynamite Guy have this epic throwdown with weapons of fire, but they're just basically sticks that they pulled out of a fiery bin, and they're having like an old school like little kid like stick fight with fire on the end, which everybody's always done. And the Crow is not very good here at all.
No.
And
they haven't started doing that yet.
He gets his ass kicked a bit, but then Eddie Crow styles it up, and this set is so bad where they had like all those hanging light bulbs.
Yeah.
Dude, Virus 9 did a photo shoot like that one time, and I was like, this sucks. And it was just so bad. And they're breaking the light bulbs because they're just there as props, like to be broken. Anyhow, it doesn't matter. And so Devil and his shout-a-hey get married, and everyone's around them is dead because they all got shot by all the Indian people that are there. I don't remember. Anyways, so we get this weird line that I have here, too.
Oh, did you catch Macy Gray in that?
Yeah. Oh, that was Macy Gray.
Yeah, the black chick.
That's I didn't get any of her audio, but it was really
I thought that was a dude.
Yeah, she was like fucking 10 feet taller than everyone else.
That's Macy Gray? I thought it was fucking like RuPaul.
Nope.
That was fucking Macy Gray. First chick?
Yeah, when they walk in? The black chick. That's
gross. I thought it was a tranny.
It looked like a dude, for
sure.
Dude,
it way looked like it. See the forehead on that bitch?
Well, wait, what?
Well, there's always Tara. Tara, what's her face that has her show?
Well, and then we got this. I don't know.
Come here. I'm an ass kicking, knife riding, suicide machine!
Oh, yeah, that was
That was war going to. Yeah, and he just goes and blows up in the middle of nowhere. He doesn't even hurt anybody.
Awesome. I just like him saying "suicide machine." I think that's why I grabbed it.
Because "suicide machine's your favorite. You love that Scott core, huh?
That is good. That's a good band.
Mm-hmm.
So Death busts out of death, I guess, because he died somehow. But they shot up the wedding party, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or something like that. And we get more.
And they kill the virgin at the exact right time.
That's right. And then he kisses Tara Reid all of a sudden, and it makes him the devil.
And she stabs him.
Yeah.
And then he comes back to life.
Then there's this epic fight between the Crow and the devil, and the devil has a.
The devil starts impersonating fucking Bruce Campbell at some point. He was wearing like a fucking cowboy jacket and like.
Yeah, that was weird.
And he starts acting like fucking Bruce Campbell and like. In the last fucking
Army of Darkness.
Army of Darkness. Yeah, he's totally like cowboy fucking machismo guy.
And the devil had like some weird like cloth weapons that he was using. And
they're from bullfighting.
Mm.
They're like the ones that finish.
Yeah. Fling them around and flip them at the bull.
He pins Eddie up to this crucifix, and Eddie's really like stuck up there, and then Death plays the organ for a while for some reason, and
because he's fluent,
and so they're all hanging out.
Fluent organ player. And
here we have, this is a little bit long, but we have more of El Nino here.
Give it to us.
I need sex, baby, and fast. If we don't do it before sunrise, yeah, the spell breaks and we're digging a hole straight to hell.
Dig your own hole.
Are you hearing me?
And her butt's
gold. The sacred ground is where these eyes get their power.
It's all good, baby. I'm already way deep in that sacred burial ground of yours. Dig.
Is it really you? Original gangster? Well, wicked ass props to you, Mr. OG. And thanks for representing all the homeboys.
I think Dennis Hopper just realized what he said and just started laughing. I don't think that was even in the fucking script. He saw, did I just say that? And then fucking died.
And that's when he contracted cancer.
And that's when he died, like totally like, five yeah. minutes after that. Offset to the left.
He gets owned for being a pimp. And
dude,
then,
that is like the worst fucking crap anyone could ever say. Seriously.
It's really funny.
It's so bad.
It's amazing.
It's the most crappy bunch of words I could think of. Strewn together.
Just coming out of fucking Dennis Hopper's mouth. Fucking completely non-Ebonics fluent mouth.
With his fucking dyed ass hair. With mm-hmm. his dyed beard hair.
So
did you see him trying to walk around in this? He was already fucking hurting at this point.
Yeah.
That was 2005.
Was fucking not good. Yeah.
So,
I miss that old son of a bitch.
Yeah, me too. Bad. He was fucking awesome.
He was.
So he tells him, or he gets killed, and the devil runs out with his old lady and basically pimp slaps everybody and then tells them all that they're going to the burial grounds. So they're like, well, I guess we're going to the burial grounds. And he says to her, he's going to give her a 7-year itch that she'd never want to scratch.
Are you going to hang out for a week? No.
I'm going to hang out for
7 years.
Your
crotch.
So the crow's back up. He's ready to goth rock and fucking doing his thing. And he asked Trejo to help him heal the crow who's been injured by the
tomahawk. Oh my god, and the titty dance commences.
This fucker would make more money as a fucking veterinarian than he ever would a sheriff.
So all the Native Americans sit around and they do like this ancient crow.
Danny
crow
Trejo
revival.
Titty dance.
Yeah, crow
all
revival
Native
dance.
Americans have fucking.
It's so bad.
Aztec Mexican fucking. Brazilian.
The whole time they were called the Aztecs, and all I could think of was like some fucking racist high school football team.
A little bit.
Like, fucking, we are the Aztecs. Yeah, go, yeah. go.
And so back at the burial ground, Terry Reed.
Did you see those moves he was doing?
Dude, his tits were fucking bouncing everywhere.
He's going for it. All
it's
over
like
the place.
Playing an invisible steel drum.
Bongos. And so Terry Reed's about to get fucked down at the.
Down
burial ground.
And she's starting to have against the second thoughts at this point.
She's getting rallied against a totem pole.
The devil does not wear Prada. He wears tidy whities.
That he doesn't even actually take all the way off. He just like slinks out of his fucking piss hole.
He's the one male that's ever existed that used the pee hole.
The devil is slightly a little embarrassed.
He's undersized.
He's all, if I be a little meek, maybe I will inherit the earth.
So then the, I guess Eddie shows up again and
I guess,
and then he starts fighting Satan. So he
dude,
really
and Satan does
up.
These fucking flying kicks from across the
oh yeah, the
goddamn graveyard.
The kung fu starts
those
happening.
Fucking kicks.
Now during the middle,
he's just a whoosh and goes across the
whoosh and whoosh.
And it was some lame ass
across the whole fucking screen. Like
fucking
wizard
people. He's all, and Harry said. Whoosh and whoosh with his broomstick.
Oh, no.
So during the middle of the fight, the devil gives this line. It's coming.
You think your bitch's mojo can save you, huh? You're a hiccup, man. Fart in my gas pump.
And then Jason said,
fart in my gas.
There you go.
If it's a fart that big, your gas pump's running for a while.
Fart in my gas pump.
What you haven't had a chance to use that for a while.
What do you powered car?
What, fart in a what?
There you go.
All right, so let's end this shit.
That's
basically the end of the movie. They fight it out,
and he gets impaled on some broken totem
wood and fucking dies. And
he got wood.
Whoa!
And then there's a bunch more fucking flashbacks. So what? How many flashbacks are we up to now?
So many.
427.
There's so many. And then Tara Reid's, her eyes start bleeding. And she's like,
and she gets arrested.
She's got to put her stunner shades on. And Eddie returns to his childhood molesting tree where the memories are strong.
Underneath the cherry blossom.
And that's the end of the movie. His ghost girlfriend shows up and they cry about shit. And that's basically
it. Oh my god. I hate this
song. Oh yes, did you listen to this song?
No, I just. I just caught a part of it.
No, listen to this song. It's actually the movie.
Oh, I think I started it after the first line. Touch my black flowing hair. Touch my pubic hair.
I think it's the chick who plays the girlfriend.
Really? Wow. I really don't want to listen to it. Listen to it.
Well, she's basically telling the fucking story of the movie.
I have no clue what I'm driving.
They made an original song for this movie to fucking outro.
It sounds like an original fucking song. It sucks.
I looked for a long on drums.
Yeah. That fucking kazoo somewhere, and they just edited them out. Take Eddie's and somehow track out.
Somehow that was his best performance. Yuck.
Alright. Alright, folks, that's December Dumpster episode.